Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So I was going to talk about what Tommy talked about in the last hour, and we'll talk about a couple of things relative to this and whether or not this is actually worthy of this shutdown that we're going on right now. Over 30 days now of this shutdown, and, you know, we still are going back and forth trying to figure out what we're going to do. And to me, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And, you know, so now we're beyond the date to make the changes for the subsidies, which the Democrats want to make permanent, okay? Not temporary, permanent. And the irony with this situation is that they created all of these programs while they had control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency. They created these additional subsidies. They created participation in this program, which actually has doubled over the last 5 years. You just heard Walter Dubb Lane from UNO, proud to be an alumni, talk about how this program has doubled over that period of time. So they created all of this, and they made the subsidies, they put the subsidies in, with an expiration date. They didn't make them permanent. They had every chance to make it permanent, but they did not, for a whole host of reasons. And now that we're approaching over $38 trillion in debt, $500 billion prediction over 10 years, an increased cost to do what they're holding out right now relative to healthcare. And the situation is this. The promises that were made is that this was going to make healthcare costs go down. Well, they haven't. Medical inflation has outpaced inflation in this country for a decade. And here we are, none of this, none of the promises that were made have really held up to be true. Now, they're not the only ones to blame. There were some things that were removed early onset in Obamacare that made it more difficult for them to fulfill the promises made. But what has happened now with these subsidies that were given during the pandemic, as Walter Dubb Lane pointed out, in the aftermath of the pandemic, people started moving from commercial insurance to Obamacare. Why? It was a little bit cheaper. In fact, medical inflation in these conventional insurance plans were moving faster because they weren't subsidized. So they were able to get the subsidized. Then they removed the cap of who would qualify from an income standpoint during the pandemic. So that brought in a whole bunch of new folks. And then for the benefit of the high wage earners that came in, they provided an 8.5% cap on medical health care spend on the premiums. So that there was an extra protection for upper income individuals that were provided as well, which encouraged a lot of people, as they just pointed, as Walter and Tommy just pointed out, in red states that were upper middle income wage earners that abandoned conventional insurance and went to the marketplace, the Affordable Care Act marketplace. It was never, ever designed to address these situations. It was never designed for this. And actually, what has happened is, as conventional insurance and healthcare costs have gone up, the Affordable Care Act has just followed. So, for example, of the increases that people are going to feel this year, let's assume for the moment that the subsidies are staying in. They're still going to have very expensive increases in the premium base for the Affordable Care Act. Why? Healthcare costs are going up. And the subsidies are static. They're not dynamic. They're not changing. They just want to make them from temporary to permanent. But healthcare costs are going up. And in fact, the subsidy, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation and others, Cato and others, the subsidies themselves are only responsible for about 3.3% of the increase on the premium base that's going to be charged to individuals as a, that are involved in the Affordable Care Act programs. So what has happened is that we're not treating the illness here. The illness is that we got to figure out how to drive healthcare costs down. And the amount of money that we're spending in healthcare costs in this country. Our comorbidity rate is so far higher than other industrialized nations. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. We are unhealthy. We eat unhealthy. We are obese. And the list goes on, and we wonder why our healthcare costs are where they're at. That's why. Now, the question is, how do we pay this runaway costs that are going on? And whether or not we want to pay you, me, and everybody else in taxes, it's going to have to change. Again, the billionaires are not able to finance all of this. There's not enough of them. There's not enough to spread the cost around. That group is, they're the ones that are the healthiest, quite frankly. And if they need health care, they just go buy doctors. They don't need us. They don't need a shared expense model to be able to provide health care to them. And they're nimble. They can go, and they're flexible. They go anywhere they want. So we can keep talking about that as if and though that's going to be the solution to this problem, to SNAP benefits, to Medicaid, to all these other social service programs, entitlements, and think that it's going to all be okay. No, we have to craft a way to move this to the private sector. And it's going to have to be an accumulation of a bunch of different ways to get there. And unless and until our congressional folks take this seriously and decide that collectively they want to address this situation, we're going nowhere. This is a repeat of immigration, right? We flood this country with illegal immigrants, not thinking about what the costs are going to be to this country. We have enough poor people already. How many times have you heard me say this? Over 40 million, I think we're approaching about 44 million now, living below the federally identified poverty level. Right? How many more do we want? How many more do we need? We keep hearing about folks coming here and not, taking the jobs that Americans don't want to work. And then when we look at agriculture, which is always pointed to, we find out that the vast majority of the agricultural jobs in this country are actually held by U.S. citizens. So a lot of these little anecdotal stories are not exactly true. The real question is, in many respects, is what are we willing to pay for a head of lettuce? What are we willing to pay for an avocado? What are we willing to pay for a whole lot of things? When we go to these other industrialized nations, they pay more. So we can't just get all of the benefits from the cost structure that we're looking to get, right? And not think that somewhere, somehow, something's coming home to roost as it relates to these issues. It's a very complicated thing, but these are the facts. And until Congress comes together and stop playing their silly-ass games that they're playing each and every day, bamboozling the public by deflecting and denying and evading and then counterattack on each other. Meanwhile, we sit on the sidelines, and in many respects, the cost structure here is getting absolutely astronomical and hard to swallow. It's a big burden. So the Democrats are urging Trump to sit down and talk with them about compromising on this issue. Well, but why should he do that? You decided to make these temporary. Not too long ago, you had the power to make them permanent. You chose not to for a whole host of reasons. So why now? So why should it be the burden now as it relates to this government shutdown? You know, so, and then when we did these subsidies during the pandemic, remember that we gave these enhanced tax credits accompanied by a relaxation of eligibility requirements. So people that were way above the poverty line now qualify for a taxpayer-covered health care subsidy, and it all depends on where you live. They have households right now that qualify for the Affordable Care Act that make as much as $600,000 a year. And now we want to make this permanent. And just to put the numbers to what I was saying earlier, enrollment in Obamacare doubled from 12.1 million to 24.32 million since these subsidies were created. And we're experiencing the tail of this, right?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But what really is happening here is that the percentage of the covered cost for those that are poor is basically staying the same. Democrats would have you believe that that number is going up, that the poor are going to suffer in a disproportionate way. The average folks that are enrolled in this program at 150% of the poverty line, are they going to pay less than $15 a week for their subsidized plan? They're responsible for about 8% of the cost. The rest is financed by you and me. 60% of enrollees will have access to a plan that costs $50 a month or less when you factor in the original subsidies, not the enhanced that they're trying to make permanent. the vast majority of enrollees will still receive the financial assistance even if the enhanced COVID-19 subsidies expire on December 31st. Now, what will happen is deductibles will go up, right? So those who are at the poverty line, who have zero premium, they pay no premium at all for the health insurance, their deductible will go to about $87. So that's kind of the granular details that go behind what everyone is talking about. Now, the higher income enrollees, they're the ones that are going to pay the bill. You just heard Professor Lane, Walter Dubb Lane, talk about that. Those that earn more than 400% of the federally poverty level, that's about $62,000 for a single person, $84,000 for a couple, and $129,000 for a family of four, will have to pay their whole premium no matter how high it spikes. And that's what everybody refers to. You hear it said all the time about the subsidy cliff, because there is no subsidy. It goes away. That additional subsidy that was given in COVID-19. Now, interestingly, the law caps the share of incomes of the lower income earners, right? And what they pay for health premiums. But there is no limit for the higher income group. And in fact, Congress gave them a temporary kind of cushion by capping the premium spending at 8.5% of their income, which is what I was talking about earlier. But this group has now would lose all protection against these premium increases. Now, who makes this up for the most part? What portion of the population? This is where it gets real interesting. So when you're figuring out your resources, what you have, your financial resources, when you can retire or otherwise, what they have found is that there's a large group of folks that retire before their Social Security full retirement age, or they retire early at 60 or 59 or 60, and they're not eligible for Medicare and other programs. They're the ones that are taking advantage of this. And they're the ones, for the most part, where a lot of people are saying, well, we can't afford these premiums. Well, you decided to retire real early and didn't wait to get to the benefit of the other programs that are designed, and this one was supposed to work in concert with others. And because it was so lucrative, and when they put the additional subsidies on there, not thinking that these things were going to be temporary again, because you know as well as I, no federal program ever goes away, right? We continue it on. So they took the risk. They left their employee. They no longer had an employer-sponsored plan. And they started going on this plan. And as those additional subsidies came on, it was like, wow, this is like manna from heaven. We're golden. We're great. We don't have to work. We don't have to be productive any longer. Otherwise, healthy, able-bodied individuals. Well, now they can't get to that 65 or 62 and qualify for full Medicare benefits and their Social Security in between, and they're not able to make the payments. And they're having more and more trouble. And a lot of times these programs were constructed to align with one another, and if you decided to fall out of that alignment, it wasn't going to work. And it's not. And in fact, they're paying higher premiums. not unlike the conventional insurers that are paying higher premiums. How many people work out there have employer-sponsored health plans, and their premiums have actually gone down in the last 5 years? And there's been no change to benefits. It's one or the other. You're either going to pay, or both, right? Higher premiums, less benefits, has been basically what everybody has been experiencing in the commercial market. A lot of it, we hear about it all the time, being driven by prescription drug costs. So the real question is that who should be the beneficiary? Who should we be financing this for, first off? And how do we figure out, for those that don't qualify for those programs, what we can set up to actually drive healthcare costs down so these premiums are not just running amok? And why is it that some of these federal health insurance programs are not allowed to negotiate with providers? Why is it that we can't negotiate with prescription drugs? You know, that's been not allowed for a long time. They've began to start to relax the rules. We put 10 prescriptions that we're going to be able to negotiate with, right? 10 medicines. Why not all? Why are we limiting ourselves as to how we can actually drive these things down? And you know what? Instead of all of this crazy town USA that we are discussing and debating in Congress, why don't we spend one entire session on health care alone? If it's consuming as much of the federal budget and consuming as much of the income of individuals in this country that are paying premiums, why don't we treat it as a priority? Why are we not spending more time on this problem? And if it's truly a bipartisan issue, we should have little to no trouble trying to get to something. Something better than what we have right now. Something that will be affordable for people moving forward. Why is it that medicines that cost $300, $300 in Canada for 90 days, cost $2,400 in the U.S. for that same 90? Why is that? You hear these stories all the time. These are the outcomes. They're the what's. Maybe we should spend more time on the whys instead of arguing about the what's. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.